Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. The MSS crew is here and ready to unload a fresh new OTR surprise for your listening enjoyment. As usual, we are here in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org, and today's date is May 20th, 2017. This is your MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you yet another exciting and super exhilarating internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Our presenter for tonight's program just so happens to be the Lone Star Hero himself, Daniel Vigil. So, without any further delays, I would just ask if everyone could please sit back, grab your favorite drinks and snacks, and enjoy the program. Daniel, it's go time. The microphone is yours.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the listening audience. Welcome to this rather unusual edition of Michael's Saturday Surprise. Tonight's two programs were part of an OTR broadcast called When Radio Was, hosted by Stan Freeberg. First up is an episode of The Adventures of Frank Race, The Talking Bullet, followed by Our Miss Brooks, School on Saturday. So until further notice, Stan, it's all yours.
I'm Stan Freeberg, and this is When Radio Was. Time now for The Adventures of Frank Race, starring Tom Collins. The Adventures of Frank Race came to radio in 1949. Tom Collins, and later on Paul Dubov, starred as the attorney who turned to adventure and intrigue after the war. But it's time now for The Adventures of Frank Race, starring Tom Collins in The Talking Bullet, as originally broadcast August 14th, 1949.
The Adventures of Frank Race, starring Tom Collins. The war changed many things, the face of the earth and the people on it. Before the war, Frank Race worked as an attorney, but he traded his law books for the cloak and dagger of the OSS. And when it was over, his former life was over, too. Adventure had become his business. The Adventures of Frank Race. And now we join Frank Race for the adventure of the Talking Bullet.
Jones Beach and a portable radio. That's the only logical escape from a sultry summer night and the breathless heat of a Manhattan apartment. Lying there in the sand with Mark Donovan, I took my comfort and solace from the radio via one of the classic-minded stations, which featured a fine pianist addicted to Beethoven.
Look, I know it's hard enough for everybody to be dead, but we also got to listen to this funeral music.
Mark, there are times when I think you have no soul.
And there are times when I think you got no ears. This long hair stuff won't ever amount to anything. All you got to do is turn that little dial and get some real music. Cab Calloway.
You just touch that dial and I'll break your arm.
Okay. If you don't want people to think you're a square, you better get with
it. This program for a special news flash.
Quiet, Mark.
State prison officials who have been keeping the story under wraps have just admitted that Blackie Martin, convicted murderer, made his escape from state prison early this evening, just a few hours before his scheduled execution.
Holy cow, Rachel.
Prison officials finally released the story when local police disclosed that Judge Robin Dexter, who presided at Martin's trial and who sentenced the bank holdup killer to the electric chair, was found dead in his chambers at the courthouse just a few moments ago. At the time of his sentence, Martin swore in the courtroom that he would escape and kill the judge and juryman and the witnesses who appeared against him. Stay tuned to this station for further development.
All right, Mark, turn it off.
Oh, brother, that Blackie Martin is sure out to pay off. He ain't wasting no time.
No, he isn't.
It means a lot of people wouldn't be sleeping tonight even if it was cool. Now, with that guy after him, he said he'd get his wife for turning against him and Graham, the columnist, and... Holy cow, Race. You, he said he was going to kill you, too, for bringing him in.
Yes, Mark. I'm sure I'm right up near the top of Blackie Martin's list. You better drive me home. A man already convicted of murder doesn't have much to lose. I kept thinking of that as Mark drove me back to town. Martin had strangled a bank night watchman, and another life or two either way wasn't going to make much difference to him. But by the time I got home, most of my thoughts concerned the pleasure of sleep. Welcome home, Race. My uninvited guest was seated comfortably in an armchair near an open window. He appeared to be completely relaxed, except for his right hand, which was clasping the .45 very tightly, and I could see the blue veins pulsing in his clenched fist.
Surprise, Race?
No, not exactly, Blackie. The radio has been giving your exploits complete coverage.
I didn't like it up the river.
You shouldn't have been so impatient. You were going out tonight anyhow.
I'm the lazy type. I'd want to walk that last mile. It's too warm to be electrocuted.
You may have found it even warmer here. There's a dragnet out for you, all over town.
I'm not in it yet. And stop veggie near that desk. If you want to sit down, sit over there. Or I can watch you.
Thanks for the hospitality. Even if it is my own home.
I want some information, Race. Where's my wife, Lola?
I don't know. I haven't seen her since your trial.
Now, she isn't singing any of the clubs around town, not any of the ones she used to play. I've been checking them on the phone while I'm waiting for you. I got something to settle with that dame.
I understand she plans to get married again, Blackie. After you're eliminated.
Married to someone else? What are you giving me?
She's been seen around with Walker Graham, the columnist who covered your trial.
Oh, so that's it? That's why she spilled the story of that bank job to the yellow paper he works for. What's that?
Don't get jumpy with that gun. It's only the phone.
All right. The use of the sound. There's no phone service at that hotel up the river.
All right.
Answer it. Be careful.
Hello.
Hi, Ray. You hear the latest news report?
Yeah, no, Mark. What is it?
Well, I just want to let you know so you could sleep good, see? You don't have to worry about Blackie Martin.
That's very interesting, Mark.
The cops have got the courthouse district bottled up tight, see? And they're sure he's still in there someplace, so don't you worry, pal. Here's the thing.
Hey, thanks. I was feeling a bit faint until you reassured me. Tell me, Mark, did you ever finish that mail order course you were taking on hypnotism?
Well, yeah, sure. Why?
I was just wondering if you could give me some instructions on how to hypnotize a man with a .45 automatic in his hand.
Oh, well, you look him right.
I warned you, Race.
Hello, Race.
Come on, Race. Come on, snap on.
Yeah.
Oh. You all right?
Yeah, it feels like I have two heads. Yeah, but I'm alive.
Oh, what happened?
Blackie Martin. He was here when I got home.
Oh.
Tried to tip you on the phone and he sandbagged me.
Oh, brother. So one they didn't try to polish you off. I would have made a score three for the night.
Three?
Yeah.
You mean there's been a second, brother?
Yeah, that's right. Just found a stiff. Heard on the air, driving over here.
Who did he get?
Nobody in the list. It's an old lady. Mrs. Jankowski or something like that. Scrub woman on the fourth floor of the courthouse. Found her in a broom closet, shot, just like Judge Dexter was.
Hmm. Well, she must have heard the shot in the judge's chambers and went in to investigate.
No, she saw the killer in the hall and he knocked her off before she could raise a howl.
Hey, Mark, call one of the news commentators and find out where Mrs. Jankowski lived and if she had any family. Then he can drive me out there.
But, Ray, she wasn't connected with the trial. She was just an innocent bystander who got it in the neck.
I know, Mark. That's why I'm curious. Very curious. There are some people who die without reason. And Mrs. Jankowski, the old scrub woman, had been one of them. Talking to her daughter wasn't easy.
But why? Why would anybody want to hurt my mother? She never hurt nobody. She was a good woman.
I'm sorry, Mr. Jankowski, but other people are in danger, too. I need your help to protect her.
What can I tell you? What do you want to know?
All about your mother. Who she knew, any friends or enemies, anything.
How could she have enemies? She works all night scrubbing in the courthouse ever since she came to this country. And in the daytime, she would sleep or stay around the house always.
She had no friends at work?
I don't know. Nobody who ever came here. I don't think so.
Why not?
Well, she couldn't speak no English. You see, we always talk Polish.
Oh, but you speak English well enough.
My father brought me here when I was 12 years old. She only came from the old country 4 months ago.
Only 4 months ago, huh?
Yes. When my father died, I sent her his insurance money to come here. Then she went to work in the courthouse. That's all there is. That's all I know.
Naturally, your mother couldn't read or write?
No. Not even in Polish. She had no education at all. Why? Why did they let that man escape to kill her mother?
That's one of the answers I'm looking for, Mr. Cosimo. Because I don't think Blackie Martin killed your mother. I don't think he's killed anybody. Yet.
Look, Grace, it's all right for you to have a hunch, see? But when you tell me that you don't think Blackie Martin has anything to do with the murders at the courthouse, well, it don't make sense.
Well, there are a lot of things about this case that don't make sense, Mark.
But, Grace, you always told me a murder's got to have a motive. Now, you tell me, who else had a motive for knocking off the judge? Answer that.
I can't answer that at the moment. Right now, I want to make sure that all the possible victims are alerted.
Oh. I've made up a list of their names and addresses while you was in there. I'll take you to the places one by one, see? And this house up the block should be our first stop.
Mm-hmm. Who lives here?
Let me see. Timothy Aloysius O'Brien. He was the foreman of the jury.
Come on in with me.
The house is dark, Grace. It's, midnight, you know.
And just the same, O'Brien should go to the police and ask to be taken into protective custody until this is over. You ring the bell.
Yeah, well. No sign of life. Maybe you already went to the cops.
Well, let's make sure.
All right. Hey, they did it. Look. Here he comes
now.
No, what do you want?
My name is Race. Blackie Martin's escaped from prison, and you may be in danger. I want you to go to the police station and stay there until he's caught.
Can you walk me up for that? Look, if the police want to protect me, let him send a man over, and he can sleep on the doorstep.
All right, O'Brien. I can't force you into it, but don't open the door so easily if anybody else should come calling tonight.
I'll be so sound asleep, I won't even hear him. And good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. You better drive me to the precinct station house, Mark. I'll ask them to send a man over right away.
Uh-huh.
I wish I knew where to find Blackie's wife, Lola, though. I'm sure she's number one on his hit parade.
Oh, maybe she's singing in one of the smaller joints, huh? Hop in.
All right, we can make the rounds of a few spots later on in.
Hi. What was that?
Shots. Inside the house. Come on. Knocking won't help this time. Smash him in.
Right.
Fender must be back here with the lights went on before.
This must be it.
Yeah. Light a match, will you, Mark?
Yeah. Is it bad, Rash?
Right through the chest, Mark.
Oh.
He's dead.
Hey. There is something move.
Toss the match.
Right.
Keep your eye on that drape at the window while I... Look out, Mark!
Let's... pause for a moment. Tom Collins will return in the adventures of Frank Race right after these messages.
If you've got sore muscles or joint pain, here's breakthrough news. Now you can roll out the pain with all new Roll-On Relief. Featuring Absorbine Junior's advanced cold hot therapy, Roll-On Relief has a convenient, no-mess roll-on applicator and a fresh, pleasant scent. All-natural Roll-On Relief works so well it even comes with a double-your-money-back guarantee. So the next time your muscles are sore, roll out the pain with Absorbine Junior's new Roll-On Relief. Use only as directed.
Who today offers you a 10-year warranty? A Mercedes? A Jaguar? A Lexus? No, a vacuum cleaner. I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL cleans over 250,000 hotel rooms every day. Try my 8-pound Orrick upright vacuum free for 15 days. Or for a free brochure or my warranty details, call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. My Orrick XL is built to wind up in the next century, not in the junkyard.
There's nothing you can't get in America, from spicy Sichuan duck to pickled herring to cheese enchiladas. Which is why there's nowhere you can't get Tums, America's favorite way to knock out heartburn fast, with calcium, something everyone needs every day. Not the aluminum and magnesium most other antacids use. So enjoy your falafel, your goulash, because in America you can always...
I'm over 60 and keeping house is important to me. But my aging knees are slowing down and I can't keep up.
As you age, you wear away joint cartilage, reducing mobility. Help rebuild and protect your cartilage with Pain-Free, a natural supplement from Schiff. Pain-Free's extra-strength glucosamine and chondroitin helps rebuild cartilage.
Pain-Free helps me keep up, so I can keep the house up.
Taken daily, Pain-Free can help you support greater flexibility within 8 weeks. Move better, feel better with Pain-Free from Schiff.
It is a global epidemic that has claimed millions.
They don't just recruit, they kill.
Once they were called vampires. Now they are known as Code D. Today, an elite task force fights this plague with cutting-edge weapons.
They are, that's our way.
UV radiation, biosynthetic compounds, and carbon bullets. A sci-fi original event.
What do you want me to do? Help me!
Ultraviolet. Darkness in a new light. Begins Monday night at 9, 8 central on Sci-Fi.
1954 Mercedes 300 SL, better known as the Gullwing. Today in mint condition, $350,000. Or you could have a classic 1938 540K Special Roadster for $2 million. A StarMark certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, however, is very nicely priced and is put through an over 130-point inspection before it's offered to you. Who knows, in 20 years, it could really be worth something. StarMark certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz. Call 1-800-4-MERCEDES or visit www.mbusa.com.
The dropout problem in our high schools affects thousands of young Texans every year. Houston Can Academy is making a difference by giving many of these kids a second chance. In only their second year, over 150 students will graduate, and another 800 are having their lives turned around. You can make a difference by donating your car, running or not, to Houston Can. They'll tow the car free of charge, and it's a terrific tax write-off for you. Call 713-225-ICAN. 713-225-4226. Your donated vehicle will mean a future of hope for a young man or woman who wants to start over. Call Houston Can Academy's Cars for Kids program today at 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. This is Milo Hamilton asking you to write off the car, not the kid. So call 713-225-4226.
And now, let's return to the adventures of Frank Race as Tom Collins stars in The Talking Bullet.
One of the bullets had hit Mark, and he fell in front of me, blocking my dive for the bulge behind the drapes. By the time I recovered, the person responsible for the murder of O'Brien was gone. I picked Mark up, piled him into his cab. My speed picked up a cruising motorcycle cop, and in a matter of seconds, he was transformed into a flying escort for a city emergency hospital. I'm sorry you stopped that bullet, Mark. It was meant for me.
It's all right. Better my shoulder than your head, Frank. Get Blackie when he fired.
No, he got clean away.
At least it should wash up your idea that somebody else might be doing a killing. Judge Dexter and then O'Brien, that ties up with only one guy. That guy's Blackie Martin.
It does narrow the field down. But isn't Blackie, it's somebody else connected with the case. There's one big question that still needs an answer.
What's that?
Blackie had me cold turkey at the apartment, and I'm on his list. Why didn't he pay me off?
Well, maybe he passed you up once, but he just tried to make up for it. And you better make sure he doesn't kill you while you're trying to prove he didn't kill the others.
Here's the hospital. Register in. That's us. With the aid of the motorcycle cop and a young doctor, I got Mark into the operating room. I showed the cop my credentials and explained the setup. He left to make a report while the doctor went to work on Mark.
Hey, lay off the eighth if you can't, Doc, will you? Makes me sick.
All right, we'll try a local. That ought to help, son.
Have to cut your clothes away.
Mark, try to think. In driving around town, haven't you seen some sign of Lola Martin singing someplace?
No, Rich. Maybe she changed her name, huh?
Lola Martin?
Oh, yes, doctor. Did you ever hear of her?
No. There is a girl named Lola singing at the Tiger Room. It's a hangout that the interns frequent over on 10th Avenue.
Your redhead? On the curvaceous side?
On the curvaceous side, all right. But a blonde. That could be peroxide, though. Ready for the needle?
Yeah, I'm ready if you are.
It'll take hold in a second. We can probe for that slug.
Oh, brother. That's Lola at the Tiger Room, Rice. You better get going. You still got some time.
No, wait until the doctor finishes with you.
How's the shoulder feel now?
Numb.
Good. It's going to hurt you some anyhow.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, almost got it. Hold tight. There it is.
Mark. Mark, boy.
He's passed out for a minute, that's all. Here's the slug. 38 caliber.
Well, so it is. My hunch is paying off.
What's that?
The last I saw of Blackie Martin, he was carrying a .45. Tell my friend that when he comes to. Some of the patrons of the Tiger Room look like interns, but the rest look like they might be in the business of turning decent citizens into ambulance cases. The singer on the floor was Lola Martin, all right. She was just finishing a song, so I took a seat at a corner table.
Hello, Race.
Well, Walker Graham, the Manhattan Tattler. What brings an ace columnist to this den of iniquity?
I'm worried about Lola with Blackie on the loose.
You ought to do some personal worrying. The tip you printed was one of the things that helped send Blackie on that one-way trip. At least it was supposed to be one-way.
I know it, but... What about you? You brought him in.
Yes, but I didn't start wooing his wife as soon as they threw him in the cooler.
Why, I can't leave Lola without protection.
I'll see that he gets home safely.
Would you, Race?
Sure.
I hope you don't think it's yellow of me to take a powder.
What I think of you isn't important.
She'll be back here in a moment. Tell her I got an important call, will you?
Sure. I'll tell her you went to play ping pong with
Blackie. Yeah. Well, thanks, Race.
Don't mention it.
Well, Mr. Race, how nice. Where was Walker heading in such a hurry?
I think he heard the Grim Reaper swishing his sickle. Won't you sit down?
Thanks. Order me a pink lady, will you?
Waiter. Pink lady for the lady.
And now, a cigarette.
Here you are.
Light.
Would you like my wristwatch?
Walker Graham usually takes care of these little things. Not that you aren't a pleasant substitute.
You flatter me.
Walker became quite attentive after Blackie's trial. But you're the one I was hoping I'd see again.
If you want to see anybody again, you'd better take yourself out of circulation until Blackie's taken back into custody.
I can't.
Want me to tell you why?
All right, Race. Why?
Because the money that Blackie stole was never recovered. You and Walker Graham have it stashed away someplace. You've got to be out moving around to make sure that neither Blackie or the police get to the money.
You're smart, Race. But this town is too hot for Blackie to be on the loose much longer. There are a lot of people he wants to get to. I'll take a chance that he doesn't get to me before he's caught.
I've got news for you, Lola. You're Blackie's number one target. He isn't going to bother with anybody else until he gets to you.
That isn't what the news reports tell me. He's kill crazy.
If you mean Judge Dexter and O'Brien count Blackie out, he didn't kill him.
Who told you that?
A murdered scrub woman. Because if Blackie had killed the judge, Mrs. Jacoski would still be alive.
Why? Suppose she caught him there. She could be a witness against him.
A man already convicted of a murder wouldn't be afraid of a witness to a second murder. Mrs. Dukowski wasn't even in this country when Blackie was convicted.
What are you trying to prove?
That she wouldn't have been able to even recognize him. She couldn't read. She couldn't have read about him.
So?
So whoever she saw leaving the judge's chambers was somebody she'd seen before him. Somebody she knew.
Like me, for instance.
Well, you saw Judge Dexter at the trial. You visited him a couple of times, had dinner with him.
There's no law against that.
No. But you were known around the courthouse.
I don't have to listen to you, Race.
And only a moment ago, you were so happy to see me.
I hope Blackie sees you next. I really hope so. Good night, Mr. Ray.
Paula Martin stalked out of me before I could stop her, so I called Ed Leavis, a police lieutenant friend of mine who happened to be in charge of the manhunt for Blackie Martin. I told him where he could locate Lola, and I went home and turned in. I slept fitfully until...
Come on, Race, wake up.
Wake up, will you?
Well, you look happy, my perforated friend. How's he showing it?
Fine. And I am getting a chuckle out of having the laugh on you for a change.
What's
look at this newspaper extra which I just picked up.
Well, you know I can never focus my eyes before breakfast. What's it say?
Says that you are wrong about Blackie Martin. He shot and killed his wife, Lola, in the Times Square subway station at 2 a.m. this morning in front of 20 eyewitnesses.
Let me see that, Mark.
Yes, sure. Have at it.
So he finally paid her off.
That's what it says, Maestro. And furthermore, there was just a flash on the radio. The police have Blackie staked out in an empty warehouse over by the waterfront.
Well, look, let me jump into some clothes and you can drive me over there.
This is the finish for Blackie.
There's Walker Graham. Come on. Hello, Graham.
Huh? Oh, hello, Race. Well, she got Lola after all.
I know. I'm sorry.
We're going to be married. I guess this winds it up, though. It won't hurt anybody else.
Where is he?
In the cellar of that building. It's full of storage bins, and he's got the doorway covered. They sent for equipment to smoke him out.
Who's in charge?
Lieutenant Leavis. Here he comes now.
Hello, Graham. Race.
Hello, Lieutenant.
Hello, Ed. Looks like you're having a little trouble.
Oh, I could get him if I had to, but why should I risk losing a man? He can't get out.
What are the orders? Shoot to kill?
I don't like it, but that's it. He's dangerous.
Ed, I want you to do me a favor. Pull back your police line to the other side of the street and let me go in after him.
Are you tired of living, Race?
Oh, you know I'm not an idiot, Ed. I'm playing a hand.
Well, all right, Race. I'll chip in with you. Say, Sergeant, go on, move those men back. All right, move back there. Well, there you are, Race. It's all yours.
No, don't do it, Race. He'll kill you for sure.
What a column this'll make.
Oh, you see, Mark? You wouldn't want to spoil Graham's column, would you?
I'm back.
See you later.
No, wait.
All right. Get back over.
This is Frank Race, Blackie. I'm coming down to talk to you.
Come on. Make a wonderful target when you come through that doorway.
Yep. Here goes. You missed me, Blackie. I'm in and you can't see me any better than I can see you. There's no light when that door closed.
I'll find you without a light, Race. I'll find you and I'll kill you.
Maybe. But you're a cinch to die in here unless you listen to me.
All right, Race. I'm listening. Go on, talk.
Here's my proposition, Blackie. I want you to...
He's been down there a long time.
I'm afraid Blackie got him as he went through the door. Smoke equipment is here now.
Hey, more shots!
Hey, look, cellar door, it's moving.
Get that door covered, man.
Hold your fire up there, Ed. Race.
All right, nice work, Race. Come on out. Hold that crowd back there, man.
Hey, look. Look, he got Blackie's carrying him out.
Let's get this body into the warehouse office, Ed.
Right. Come on, Delamon.
You can come in, too, Graham. And call your paper.
You. This boy's heavy. I'll dump him here until the wagon comes.
Thanks for a great story, Race. I better call before deadline.
Yeah, hold it a minute. The story is bigger than you think.
What do you mean?
Who would a man try to kill first, Graham? A judge who was only doing his job? Or a wife who double-crossed him?
Well, I guess Lola was the main one, but he got to the others first.
No, he didn't. Because Blackie didn't kill the others. The person who killed the others had to kill Mrs. Jakowski, too. Because she recognized him. It was somebody who went to the courthouse every day. Somebody like you, Graham. Covering the beat for your paper.
What motive would I have for killing Judge Dexter?
Because you thought he was wise to you and Lola. That's why she was shining up to him. And you figured the other murders would make the police redouble their efforts to get Blackie and shoot him on sight.
You haven't got a shred of proof, Race.
Not yet. But I think you have the proof on you. 38 caliber gun, the gun that killed three people. See, Blackie Martin's gun was a .45.
All right, genius.
Here's that gun. Now move back, all of you.
Grab that gun, Graham.
I said move back, Lieutenant. I know how to use this.
Let's be smart, Lieutenant. Do like the man says.
I'm going out that door. Don't try to stop me.
Well, don't leave without saying goodbye to Blackie. He's right behind you. And he still has that .45.
Dead men don't worry me, Race.
I ain't so dead.
What? I should go.
Let's rob it. That gun, Graham, before I put a slug through you.
Nice going, Blackie. Now you might as well give the gun back to me since it isn't loaded.
Why, you tricky...
Open your gun.
Try that.
Well, Race, we won't have much trouble taking him in. Thanks, Blackie. But you still have a date with the electric chair yourself.
I'm ready. I don't mind now. As long as I know that Graham is going to be practically sitting in my lap when they turn on the juice.
What went on down in the cellar, Race?
I knew Graham was guilty. I knew Blackie didn't want to die and let Graham get away. So I sold him on this little act.
Oh, brother, for my money, you get the Academy Award.
Thanks, Mark. Well, let's get this unconscious Oscar to the police station. Another hot day. No, I'll never catch up in my sleep.
The Adventures of Frank Race, starring Tom Collins with Tony Barrett as Mark Donovan, comes to you from Hollywood. Art Gilmore speaking. This is a Bruce Ells production.
And that was The Adventures of Frank Race with Tom Collins, starring in The Talking Bullet from January 29th, 1950.
Now, wait a minute. I thought you said it was broadcast on August 14th, 1949.
I'm Stan Freeberg. Join us for part one of Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, right after these messages.
Frank Sinatra. Although he later conquered films and television, it was radio that first made Old Blue Eyes a superstar. And now Radio Spirits has carefully remastered 60 rare episodes guest starring Frank Sinatra on programs such as Suspense, Life with Luigi, Rocky Fortune, and Burns and Allen. Hear Frank Sinatra joke, sing, and act with his friends Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Lucille Ball, Humphrey Bogart, Abbott and Costello, Bing Crosby, and many more. 30 hours and 20 cassettes all with Frank Sinatra, including a 64-page booklet with photographs and detailed histories of each of the 60 shows. Order right now and save $20 off the $59.98 catalog price. Pay just $39.98 during this limited time offer. No true Frank Sinatra fan should be without a rare collection like this. The 60 greatest old-time radio shows starring Frank Sinatra and friends. Order now by calling 1-800-RADIO-48. That's 1-800-723-4648 or order online at MediaBay.com.
Hi, this is Bob Crane from the C. Crane Company, and I'd like to tell you about our CC radio. The CC radio will pick up more stations than you ever had before, and the stations you listen to now will come in clear, and the sound is rich and truthful for the best human voice possible. Popular science confirms it is the ultimate tabletop radio, and I personally guarantee that the CC radio is the best radio you can own for news, talk, and sports. You can learn more about the CC Radio by getting our free catalog that tells all about the CC Radio, plus dozens of other unique items. You can give us a call right now at 800-522-8863 or on the web at ccradio.com.
The CC Radio is just $159.95, including shipping. That number again for more information or the free C. Crane Company catalog is 800-522-8863. That's 800 800- 522-8863 and on the internet at ccradio.com.
Want to stop taking antacids and acid blockers and still get rid of occasional indigestion naturally? Introducing new Omnigest EZ. Only Omnigest contains 7 all-natural enzymes your stomach uses to help digest foods before occasional indigestion starts. Unlike antacids and acid blockers, the dietary supplement Omnigest EZ works with your body. Will Omnigest help digest fats, dairy, and protein? Naturally. Beans, fiber, and carbohydrates? Naturally. Take new Omnigest EZ before you eat and digest indigestion away naturally.
Operator, I need to find the store address for insanelyhugepharmacy.com.
Sorry, there is no store address. It's just a .com.
But I have to see the pharmacist.
Hon, you can't see the pharmacist because you can't visit the pharmacy. It's just a .com.
Looking for a local pharmacist who's also online? Just visit ValueRight.com, where you can shop online and refill prescriptions 24 hours a day. Go to ValueRite.com. Now we're right around the corner and around the clock.
Welcome back. I'm Stan Freeberg, and this is When Radio Was. Eve Arden struggled for years in Hollywood in forgettable roles that failed to showcase her comedic abilities, but quickly became a major star when Our Miss Brooks opened its radio classroom back in 1948. Eve Arden portrayed a romance-starved high school teacher who desperately wanted to teach the shy biology teacher, Philip Boynton, about the birds and the bees. Time now for part one of School on Saturday from January 29th, 1950. Eve Arden stars as Our Miss Brooks, with my friends Gail Gordon as Principal Conklin, Jeff Chandler as Philip Boynton, and Richard Crenna as Walter Denton.
Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, written by Al Lewis. Well, many of the nation's schools commence a new semester on Monday. And Madison High School, where Our Miss Brooks teaches English, is one of them. Although the others usually dispense with classes on the last day or two of the old term, Madison did not.
No, indeed. Our beloved principal, Osgood Conklin, saw to that. In fact, he was quite chagrined when a cloudburst last Friday kept almost all of the student body at home. Even members of the faculty didn't get down, except a handful of teachers, me. Since Mr. Conklin didn't show up until quite late, I took it upon myself to dismiss the few soaked pupils who were floating around the halls. Saturday morning at breakfast, I discussed the situation with my landlady.
And what did Mr. Conklin say when you told him you had canceled school for the day, Connie?
He didn't say a word, Mrs. Davis, until he came down off the ceiling. Then he accused me of usurping his function as a principal and throwing a monkey wrench into his plan for getting the jump on the other schools.
What sort of plan did he have, Connie?
Well, he felt that schedule should be revised and classes assigned before the first day of the new semester. Hence, we have all been invited to appear at school today.
But this is Saturday, Connie. Mr. Conklin hasn't the authority to make anybody come to school.
He doesn't make anybody come. He's put it on a voluntary basis. For both the student body and the faculty, it's strictly optional.
Really?
Of course. Come or die.
I can't understand some of you teachers, Connie. Why do you let Mr. Conklin drive you this way? What are you all? A bunch of geese?
I don't know about the others, but don't be surprised if some morning you find a feather by my empty bed. You see, Mrs. Davis, I've been in so much trouble with Mr. Conklin during the past term, I don't dare start the new one off on the wrong foot. Oh, that's probably Walter Denton. He's giving me a lift down to school. Come in, Walter.
It certainly is nice of Walter to call for you this morning.
Yes, it is, considering that I made it quite clear to him that his driving me was strictly optional.
Really?
Of course. Be here or flunk.
Hi, Mrs. Davis. And to you, most revered and admired of all local educators, I bow deeply from the waist.
Thank you, and get your head out of the milk pitcher. Sit down, Walter. I'll pour you a glass.
Ah, thanks. Would you like something else, Walter?
What have you got?
Oh, cereal, eggs, sausage, bacon, toast.
And that'll be fine.
Obviously, you haven't had anything to eat since breakfast.
Oh, that's right, Miss Brooks. Over an hour ago.
A growing boy should eat a lot, especially if you want to grow up and be big and strong like Hopalong Cassidy.
Hopalong Cassidy ate like Walter. He'd never make it to the saddle.
That's a good one.
I'll go fix a nice plate for you, Walter. Oh, how do you take your eggs?
4 in the mouth and 6 intravenously.
Gosh, Miss Brooks, you make me sound like a pig. Just scramble a few with some bacon and sausages, Mrs. Davis, please.
All right, dear.
Well, this is great. What better way to start off the day than a resounding second breakfast with my favorite school teacher?
For a kid who's going to school on Saturday, you sound pretty chipper, Walter.
Ah, but that's where you're wrong, Miss Brooks. I'm not going to school today. None of the students are. We held a mass meeting last night and decided that the only course to pursue was open rebellion.
What?
The issues are clear, Miss Brooks. If we let old Marblehead haul us into school today...
Now, just a minute, Walter. I won't have you referring to the principal of our school in such a disrespectful manner.
I'm sorry, Miss Brooks, but... Well, don't you see? If we submit to his demand that we attend school on Saturday, what's to prevent him from dragging us down on Sunday? Or even holidays? Oh, I can just picture it. Christmas weekend comes. Everybody's off having fun. But our principal decrees that we must spend every day of our vacation in school.
Old Marblehead wouldn't dare.
Don't you worry, Miss Brooks. Even though we all recognize this for the tyranny that it is a short-lived tyranny. Our spokesman elected unanimously at last night's meeting will see to that.
Spokesman? Whom did you elect?
Let me be the first to congratulate you. What more logical choice, may I add, to slay the tyrant?
Now, wait a second, Walter. It just happens that I didn't renew my card in the Tyrant Slayers Union. I'm in enough hot water now for canceling school yesterday.
Well, that was different. It was an emergency. Plus which, nobody was there anyway. But don't worry about it now. We can plan our campaign on the way down to school.
I thought you said you weren't going.
Of course I'm going. I'm in charge of the picket line. As one of the organizers of this rebellion, it's up to me to see that the protest meeting this morning goes off without a flaw.
Are you sure you've got the eyebrows for this kind of work?
Oh, we've got a great program lined up, Miss Brooks. Some of the kids are bringing a dummy down so we can hang Mr. Conklin in effigy.
But, Walter, that's a pretty violent way of protesting.
Oh, it'll all be in fun. Sort of. Well, even Mr. Conklin's daughter Harriet's on our side. So, here's the plan, Miss Brooks. First, we're going to have one last talk with Mr. Conklin. Then we're going to go out and hang the dummy. Well, what do you think of the scheme?
It's a dandy, Walter. Of course, it would be more effective if you had one last talk with the dummy and then went out... Oh, there I go with that wishful thinking. For a group who decided not to come to school today, there's quite a crowd on the campus.
I wonder where Stretch Snodgrass is. He's supposed to carry the dummy over to the flagpole.
As Madison's star athlete, he deserves the honor, but let me offer a word of caution, Walter.
What's that, Miss Brooks?
Well, I don't want to cast any aspersions on Stretch's mentality, but if he's carrying the dummy, be very careful who you string up.
Here he is now. Hiya, Stretch.
Hi, Walter. Hello, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Stretch.
I made up a slogan for one of the picket signs, Walter, but I'm afraid it might be a teeny-weeny bit disrespectful. Want to hear it?
Sure. How does it go?
It goes, Mr. Conklin is very unfair. I'm going to wash that guy right out of my hair.
No, I don't think a slogan like that's too disrespectful to you, Miss Brooks.
Not if you want to finish your education in another part of the state.
So the real fun will come later, Miss Brooks. We're going to hang Mr. Conklin in a figgy.
In a what?
In a figgy.
Will he fit in a figgy?
No, he means in effigy, Miss Brooks.
Oh, I kind of liked it the other way.
Yeah, I better get the thing now. I'll see you later, Miss Brooks. Bye, Walter.
So long, pal. Well, everything's rolling right along. Let's see if Mr. Conklin got here yet.
Hello, Miss Brooks. Walter. Well, I just talked to Daddy, and he's livid. He blames you for the entire insurrection, Miss Brooks.
Me?
I tried to reason with him. I even told him that you weren't present when we named you our spokesman, although it was a foregone conclusion that you'd accept the honor with great enthusiasm.
That's getting me off the hook.
Daddy says if you hadn't canceled school yesterday, this wouldn't have happened. You're in an awful spot.
Gosh, I didn't mean to get you into such a jam, Miss Brooks.
Well, I'm in it, and it's up to me to get out of it. Please don't think I'm a Benedict Arnold, but I'd better get up on the school steps and have a little talk with some of these strikers.
Well, it probably won't do any good, but I can't blame you for trying.
Students! Boys and girls, I'd like to talk to you for just a moment. Quiet, please! Thank you. Now, I'm sure you all have as much pride in your school as any members of the faculty have, or as its principal, Mr. Conklin, has. Please, I'm just trying to tell you that by working for a few hours today, we can be prepared to launch our new semester on Monday with a minimum of confusion, thus assuring us of a better start toward that degree of scholastic excellence which has always prevailed at Madison High. Remember, students, education is your sacred heritage, your guaranteed right under the Constitution, as well as the Bill of Rights, which ensures us all of the benefits and privileges which every American has come to feel.
And so, Miss Brooks, I hold you personally responsible for the fact that these malcontents are not in their classrooms yet.
But, Mr. Conklin, I really tried to...
Excuse me. This is Osgood Conklin's office. Mr. Conklin himself speaking.
Hello, Conklin. This is Mr. Stone at the Board of Education.
Oh, hello, Mr. Stone. How's everything?
I've no time for chit-chat. A rather disturbing rumor has reached me to the effect that you've summoned your student body to school today.
My student body?
You realize, of course, that such an action on your part without sanction from the board would constitute a breach of authority that could lead to your immediate dismissal?
Yes, of course. Now, I can't for the life of me imagine where these ridiculous rumors begin. Why, I'm here all alone. Not another soul in the office. Bless you.
Shut up!
I'm sorry, sir. My cat has a cold. about that rumor... The only reason I'm in the office is to get out some letters.
Good. I thought you had better sense than to do anything that autocratic. By the way, Osgood, I'll be in your neighborhood in a little while. Perhaps I'll drop in to discuss some board matters with you.
Fine, Mr. Stone. That'll be just grand. I'll look forward to seeing you.
Very well. Goodbye, Osgood.
Goodbye, Mr. Stone. Well, Miss Brooks, sometimes everything happens for the best. Because of you, no child has set foot in this building as yet. Is that right?
I guess not, Mr. Conklin, but if you'll just wait
I'll be frank with you, Miss Brooks. If they had come in, it could have meant my dismissal. I don't understand Mr. Stone's attitude, but, well, go out to your youthful charges and inform them that there is no school today.
Oh, fine, Mr. Conklin.
You did it, Miss Brooks. I didn't think you could do it, but you did it.
What are you talking about, Denton?
Oh, she was wonderful, Mr. Conklin. Miss Brooks made a speech a few minutes ago that'll go down in Madison's history. Yes, sir, every student is in his or her classroom right now. And believe me, Mr. Conklin, wild horses couldn't drag them out of this school today.
Well, Miss Brooks? You heard the boy. Thanks to your speech, wild horses couldn't drag them out of school today. And now, young woman, may I ask what you propose to do?
Step aside, Mr. Conklin.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, will continue in just a moment. But first, here is Vern Smith. No other dentifrice offers proof of such results. Proof that Colgate Dental Cream helps stop tooth decay before it starts. 2 years' research at leading universities using Colgate Dental Cream, hundreds of case histories,
makes this the most conclusive proof in all dentifrice history on tooth decay. Conclusive proof that when teeth are brushed with Colgate's right after eating,
Colgate Dental Cream helps stop tooth decay before it starts.
Yes, the toothpaste you use to clean your breath while you clean your teeth now offers a safe, proved way to reduce tooth decay. Modern science shows decay is caused by mouth acids, which are at their worst right after eating. Brushing teeth with Colgate's as directed helps remove acids before they harm enamel.
Colgate Dental Cream has been proved to contain all the necessary ingredients, including an exclusive patented ingredient for effective daily dental care.
Get Colgate Dental Cream today. Big economy size, only 59 cents. Always use Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and
help stop tooth decay before it starts.
Remember, no other dentifrice offers proof of such results.
Well, I told Walter Denton to corral the students and herd them into the cafeteria. While I was waiting for them to assemble, I corralled Mr. Boynton and herded him into a corner table. Over a cup of coffee, I told him of Mr. Conklin's dilemma. As usual, Mr. Boynton was extremely sympathetic. So you see, if these kids don't go home at once, Mr. Conklin can get in big trouble with the board.
Well, that's his worry. No, he should have known better than to ask students to come to school on Saturday, let alone the faculty.
I wish he would let alone the faculty. But we're in it now, at least I am, up to our necks, at least my neck. Fine English teacher.
Well, I don't like to see you distressed about it. Now, look, when we do leave here, how about going someplace, just the two of us?
What sort of place did you have in mind, Mr. Boynton?
Well, I don't know.
It's a date.
I thought maybe you'd enjoy the zoo again today. Now, I understand they've got a yak over there that's over 60 years old.
Honestly?
Yeah, that's pretty old for a yak, you know.
Oh, I know. Then old yaks are so much more fun than young yaks, don't you think? Or don't you care? I know I don't.
Well, I got most of the kids in, Miss Brooks. Oh, hi, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, hello, Walter.
I'll hold this chair for you, Miss Brooks. Go ahead, get up on it and make your speech.
Thanks, Walter. Students, attention, please. I've called you here for some very good news. You don't have to stay in school today.
But, Miss Brooks, after your speech of this morning, we want to stay.
Don't you believe it? This, after all, is Saturday, a holiday, one to which you are not only entitled by law, but which is guaranteed to you by the Constitution, by the Bill of Rights and every other document so carefully prepared to safeguard the interest of you, the future leaders of our great nation.
Hello?
Hello, Osgood. This is Mr. Stone. I'm afraid I won't be able to drop in on you today after all. My wife's been driving my car all week, and it's pretty well shot.
Yes. Yes, I've seen her. Your car, that is. Your car. I'm sorry you can't drop in, though, Mr. Stone, but when you do pay us a visit, you'll find as smooth a running educational operation as there is in this country.
I'm sure of it, Osgood. Well, goodbye for now.
Goodbye, sir, and thanks for calling. Come in.
It's me, Mr. Conklin. I told the students that they can go home anytime they want to.
What? Have they left yet?
No, sir. Most of them are still in the cafeteria, but
they're going to pay for this morning's protest meeting. Mr. Stone isn't coming down after all. So you can just tell those recalcitrant mischief makers that they're staying here today until 4 p.m.
But, Mr. Conklin, I can't make another speech.
It's an order, Miss Brooks. Miss.
By working for a few hours today, we can be assured of a better start toward that degree of scholastic excellence which has always prevailed at Madison High. Remember, students, education is your sacred heritage, your guaranteed right under the Constitution, as well as the Bill of Rights, which ensures us all the benefits and privileges which every parent.
Stretch, I don't like to cross Miss Brooks up, but we just gotta get out of school today.
But we're all on detention, Walter. We gotta stay till 4 p.m. What makes me mad? We didn't even get to burn Mr. Conklin in a figgy.
Stretching. Hey, wait a minute. You just gave me an idea. Suppose we had a fire drill. Then when we all ran out of school, we could just forget to stop running until we got home.
Yeah, but the control for the fire alarm bell is in Mr. Conklin's office, and he ain't gonna ring it for no reason.
Then let's give him a reason.
You mean start a fire?
No, no, not a real fire, Stretch. A fake one. We can get some dry ice in the cafeteria kitchen and drop it in a bucket of water. Oh, that makes the most beautiful smoke you ever saw. And then we just fan it under old Marblehead's door until it fills his office.
Then he comes out of his door and hits us with the bucket.
No, he doesn't. We remove the screws from his doorknob from the outside. And then when he tries to open the door, the knob comes away in his hand, and Conklin falls right on his conch.
Boy, you should get a scholarship.
So, Miss Brooks, you've informed the student body that they're all under detention until 4?
Yes, sir, I did. But suppose Mr. Stone does come over and discovers that you're keeping us all in school on a holiday.
Ah, but he won't, Miss Brooks. He has no way to get here. His car broke down.
Suppose he decided to walk over.
Walk over? That's ridiculous.
Well, hello, Mr. Conklin.
Mr. Stone.
I decided to walk over.
That's ridiculous. Hello, Mr. Stone. How are you?
Fine, thanks, Miss Brooks. I would have been here sooner, Osgood, but I dozed off for a few minutes in the park. I stopped to rest on my favorite bench, the one under Paul Revere's statue.
That is an extremely comfortable bench.
Such nice soft slats.
Tell me, Miss Brooks, what brought you to old Madison today?
Old Mr. Conklin. Mr. Conklin asked me to type some letters for him.
Yes, that's it. She's typing some letters for me.
But I don't see any typewriter in here.
Well, it's in the next room.
In the next room?
I have very long arms. That we finished, Mr. Conklin, why don't you drive Mr. Stone home instead of remaining in this stuffy old, empty old school?
A splendid idea. Come along, Mr. Stone.
Not so fast, Osgood. There are several things What's that? There must be someone loitering in the hall.
Impossible. There's no one in school today.
But I'd swear I just saw that doorknob turning.
Turning into what?
And what's that swirling in under the door?
Oh, that's nothing but smoke.
Yes, that's all it is. Just smoke.
Oh, of course, that's all it is. Smoke. Smoke!
Good heavens, the school's on fire.
Let's get out of here. Follow me.
The doorknob came away in his hand.
Oh, let me help you up, Mr. Stone. Mr. Stone, he fell on the back of his head, Mr. Conklin. He's unconscious.
Quick, Miss Brooks. Crawl through the window and run around and open the door from the outside. I'll try to revive Mr. Stone.
Yes, sir.
Smoke's getting pretty thick in here. I can hardly see you, Miss Brooks.
I can't see you at all, Mr. Conklin. I never could.
Gosh, Walter. We've been fanning smoke under that door for 5 minutes now, and he ain't rung the fire alarm yet.
Relax, Stretch. With the fog he's in, it'll take him a little while to notice the smoke.
You don't think Mr. Conklin has become exvixicated, do you?
No, that would be too much to hope for.
But if he is exvixicated, maybe we ought to open the door and haul him out of there.
Please, let's not spoil a perfectly good exvixication.
Miss Brooks!
We're cooked.
Oh, it's not a real fire, Miss Brooks. It's just dry ice and water, see? We were trying to get Mr. Conklin to ring the fire alarm so we could escape from school in the confusion. Oh, there's a lot you can do on Saturday on the outside.
Gosh, Miss Brooks, now that you caught us, what are you going to do?
Hand me that newspaper. I'll fan the smoke for a while.
Gee, you're a swell sport, Miss Brooks. You think he'll ring the alarm pretty soon?
Maybe he needs a little encouragement. Keep up your courage, Mr. Conklin. I'm fighting my way through the flames.
Are you gonna rise out of old Marblehead?
Go ahead, Miss Brooks. Scare him some more.
I'm trying to reach you, Mr. Conklin, but the heat is terrific.
Perhaps I could get you a nice, cool lemonade, Miss Brooks.
Oh, not right now, thanks. I've got to keep fanning this dry ice and...
Now, Miss Brooks, if you're quite finished fighting your way through the flames...
You got here in the nick of time, Mr. Conklin. I just put the fire out.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I better be getting back to my classroom now.
Yeah, me too.
Stand where you are, you culprits!
Why, Mr. Conklin, you should thank these boys for what they've done.
Thank them?
Certainly. When Walter and Stretch realized the trouble you'd get into with Mr. Stone, they took this means of detaining him until the students were cleared out.
Sure. As long as Mr. Stone is locked in there, you're safe.
Hand me that newspaper. I'll fan the smoke for a while.
Here you are, Mr. Conklin.
Pour some more water on that dry ice, Snodgrass. You, Denton, see that all the classrooms are emptied and report back to me.
Yes, sir. I'll clear them out, nothing flat.
Mr. Stone will have to get up pretty early in the morning to outsmart old Marblehead. I'll be coming.
I don't think you're getting enough smoke under the door, Mr. Conklin.
Oh, well, this newspaper's too flexible. Get me something firmer to fan the smoke with.
Perhaps you'd like to use my hat, Mr. Conklin?
Thank you, Mr. Stone, thank you. That should work much better than this...
Thank you, Mr. Stone!
Mr. Conklin, I will discuss this matter with you privately in your office.
But, Mr. Stone...
Follow me, sir.
Oh!
Mr. Stone!
The doorknob came away in his hand again. Mr. Stone, say something. He's unconscious. Miss Brooks, what do I do now?
In an emergency like this, there's only one thing to do. Run, do not walk, to the nearest employment agency.
Eve Arden as our Miss Brooks returns in just a moment, but first...
Dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl.
Tonight? Yes, tonight. Show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a luster cream shampoo. Luster cream, world's finest shampoo. No other shampoo in the world gives Kay Dumit's magic blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Not a soap, not a liquid. Luster cream shampoo leaves hair three ways lovelier. Fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen. Soft, manageable. Even in hardest water, Luster Cream lathers instantly. No special rinse needed after a Luster Cream shampoo. So gentle, Luster Cream is wonderful even for children's hair. Tonight? Yes, tonight, try Luster Cream shampoo.
Dream girl, beautiful Luster Cream girl. You owe your crowning glory to a Luster Cream shampoo.
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, after Mr. Stone knocked himself out for the second time, I did some pretty fast thinking and came up with a desperation tactic. Recalling his remark that he had dozed on a park bench, I enlisted the aid of Mr. Boynton, and we hauled the head of the board over to the statue of Paul Revere.
Oh, he's still out cold, Miss Brooks. I'll try the smelling salts again. There.
Put them away, Mr. Boynton. He's coming, too. Wake up, Mr. Stone. Wake up.
Huh? What's that? Oh, Miss Brooks, about that fire. If you'll step into Mr. Conklin's office, Mr. Conklin's office? Where is it? Good heavens, the school is burned down.
School? What school?
Now, listen, Miss Brooks, when I first saw you today...
Today? Why, I haven't seen you in 2 weeks, Mr. Stone. Since there was no school today, Mr. Boynton and I decided to stroll through the park.
Yes, sir, and when we saw you dozing, we thought we'd better awaken you before you rolled off that bench.
Bench? Park? I do remember stopping to rest, but I... Oh, what a nightmare I've just had.
Maybe you'd better go home and get some real rest, Mr. Stone.
Excellent suggestion. I'll go right home and... Wait a minute.
What's the matter?
How did I get this doorknob in my hand?
Doorknob?
Oh, that. That must have fallen from Paul Revere's statue.
From Paul Revere's statue?
Of course. With the British coming, he was in an awful rush.
Next week, tune into another Our Miss Brooks show brought to you by Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair and Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, directed by Al Lewis, with music by Wilbur Hatch. Mr. Boynton is played by Jeff Chandler, Mr. Conklin by Gail Gordon. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, Gloria McMillan, Bill Johnstone, and Leonard Smith.
Doctors prove palm olive soap can bring you a lovelier complexion in 14 days.
Yes, 36 leading skin specialists proved in tests on 1,285 different women that Palmolive soap facials using nothing but Palmolive brought new complexion beauty to 2 women out of 3. Just wash your face 3 times daily with Palmolive soap. Each time for 60 seconds, massaging Palmolive's beauty lather onto your skin. Then rinse. So start your Palmolive facials today. Remember, doctors prove Palmolive soap can bring you a lovelier complexion in 14 days.
Today, more than ever before, America's security depends upon us as individuals. And if we really care what happens to us, our children, our country, we must at any cost defy vicious racial and religious biases from those around us. For unless we do, we will be a people divided, our claims of freedom and democracy only empty gestures. Let's work together as a team to keep the freedom we all enjoy.
For mystery liberally sprinkled with laughs, listen to Mr. and Mrs. North, the exciting fun fact adventures of an amateur detective and his beautiful wife. Tune in Tuesday evening over most of these same stations. And be with us again next week at this same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamond speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From January 29th, 1950. That was Our Miss Brooks, School on Saturday. The cassette I used to record the When Radio Was broadcast actually ran out of tape about halfway through the second program. However, thanks to fellow MSS crew member Ron Bond and his vast OTR collection, I was able to present the complete show. Now let's hear from a guy who always enjoys closing down these weekly MSS presentations. Luis, it's all yours.
Okay, Daniel, thanks a lot and great work as usual. You set them up, now it's my turn to knock them down. That's going to do it for tonight's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise, folks. But don't worry, we will be back again next week. You know where, when, and how to find us. As usual, if there are any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, please address them via email to micamelli@earthlink.net. That's micamelli@earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. But just remember, be nice to one another. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.